Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelsang. As a longtime podcaster and a longtime fan, today's guest is truly special to me, my audience, and to her over 3 million listeners. I'm speaking, of course, about Diane Rehm. Our guest today on the Not Old Better Show, Diane Rehm, is known for her work on issues of ethics, journalism integrity, issues surrounding the subject of right to die or death with dignity, and many others. She is also known as the class act of the radio talk world. She has interviewed prominent newsmakers, journalists, and authors, including former presidents Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, Jimmy Carter, former Vice President Dick Cheney, former Secretaries of State Colin Powell and Hillary Clinton, retired Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, Nobel laureate and Pulitzer Prize winning author Toni Morrison, actors Cate Blanchett, Kevin Spacey, and these are just a few of the interviews audiences have listened to over the years. This woman's contribution to the improvement of the quality of life in the death with dignity community has ranked her as Washingtonian of the Year and as one of 150 most influential people in Washington by the Washingtonian magazine. In 2014, President Barack Obama presented Diane Rehm with the National Humanities Medal. Two nights ago, March 1st, 2017, Diane Rehm received the 2017 Lifetime Achievement Award from the Washington Press Club Foundation. Known for her positive and motivational journalistic attitude, her acceptance speech for the award, and we'll post a link to the video on notoldbetter.com, is already a classic. Her dynamic range of acquaintances and the fact that she possesses a sense of media integrity, propriety, and fairness that knows few bounds, and will be discussing her passion for this subject, makes her unique. Appearing as part of the Smithsonian Associates series, Diane Rehm will be at the Baird Auditorium, National Museum of Natural History, Washington, D.C., Tuesday, March 28th, 2017, 6:45 to 8:15. And again, we'll post links on the notoldbetter.com website so that you can find out additional details and how to purchase tickets. But please join me in welcoming to the Not Old Better Show, Diane Rehm, who has again found her voice in her new book, On My Own. And as she has always done, she speaks to us passionately and courageously about issues that concern us all. Well, Diane Rehm, what an honor it is to speak to you. I have to just tell you first, right out of the gate, congratulations on your award recently given, the 2017 Lifetime Achievement Award from the Washington Press Club. Congratulations on that. And I also have to tell you, I searched your name on C-SPAN and came up with your speech, actually, that you gave at the awards ceremony. It was wonderful. And as the C-SPAN cameras pan the room, you see audience members visibly gasp, mouthing words like, wow. And so great job. You know, in the speech, you quoted Carl Sagan. I'll put a link up on the website to the speech directly. But you also refer to this issue of civil discourse, which is suffering, and I've listened to you for a long time, and good manners and respect for others, this is really who you are, and you feel very strongly about this subject. I wonder if you'd tell us why. What's going on in media today that you see that we really are at a point in time that you need to be so vocal about in this speech that you've given?
Well, I think it's simply time. I think that what is coming out of the president's mouth, his words, his allegations, his charges, that there is fake news, his charges that the media is the enemy of the American people, just make me gasp. I cannot believe that the President of the United States is literally going back and using almost Stalinist tactics to berate the American freedom of press ideals that have been part of our country, part of the growth and energy of our country since its beginning. I know that there are times when elected officials believe they are under attack and have hit back. And I think that's perfectly legitimate for every president and elected official to do. But to begin to undermine the people's faith in the media makes me sick to my stomach. And I felt it was time to speak out and say exactly what I believe.
And it was really a wonderful speech. You say, too, we must not shut up. And this is something that this slow decay of media that Carl Sagan talks about is something that you've really kind of issued a declaration that you intend to be vocal about this, and you're asking for the media to keep talking.
Absolutely. Not only to keep talking, but to keep challenging those in authority when they call us liars, when they call our news fake news, when they use words like alternative facts. Heavens, what in the world are alternative facts? I mean, I just can't believe these kinds of things are being uttered today. This president has really lowered the level of conversation and of dialogue. There is no dialogue. Everything is centered around him, and everything has to be said about him and has to be said in ways he wants it said rather than what is true. And that's the job of the media, to continue to bring what is truth to the American people.
These are important words from Diane Rehm. And Diane, you are so respected. I think people are going to listen to this. You also have been described by Maya Angelou as someone who is honest, direct, and Maya Angelou said that you're not brutal. I think these are wonderful words. I can really think of no better way to be described. Was Maya Angelou one of your favorite guests over the years?
Oh, my goodness, how I loved her. I spoke with her at least 3 or 4 times, and each time, whether she was here in the studio or that very last time I spoke with her, she was at her home. And, you know, I just felt closer and closer and closer to her. And I was so honored when she said, you know, if you and I lived near each other, we would be friends.
Mm-hmm.
We would sit down and have a glass of wine together or a glass of champagne or coffee, and we would talk and we would understand each other. I mean, that is what we as human beings are hoping for, isn't it? To be understood and to understand. It seems to me that President Trump wants people only to understand his perspective and no one else's. When he gave his address to Joint Session of Congress recently, there was a different tone. And some of us wondered whether, in fact, that tone might be reflective of a move toward a different place in Donald Trump's thinking. But clearly, he is still the same Donald Trump the same President of the United States who calls the media the enemy of the American people.
Yeah, I think this is an important subject. I think it's one that we're going to need to keep at the forefront. I also know that, and I know this from reading your book on my own, that the subject of right to die, and maybe it's better known as death with dignity, is an important one to you. You're active with an organization called Compassion and Choices, and there are polls, and Compassion and Choices cite this, that 65% of the United States population supports this option to help people understand their choices a little bit better and to actually be presented those. Your own husband died after a battle with his illness, but this was a marriage of 54 years. I've been married 30 years. I'm taking care of my parents as we speak in California, and I love them both dearly, but they are very sick. And I wonder if you could give me and my listeners a little inspiration about how to be a caregiver and do a better job of this and not feel quite so much guilt. You really seem to have a lot of answers on this subject, and I know it's an important one to you.
I think that guilt is inevitable, but you can lessen that guilt or reduce it by talking as a family about what each person wants, whether it's your mother or father, whether it's your spouse, whether it's your children. John and I talked with our children early on about what each of us wanted. So it was really no surprise near the end of his life when he said to David, our son, Jen, our daughter, and his doctor, that he was ready to die. He had had Parkinson's for over 10 years. He no longer had use of his hands, his legs. He could not feed himself, bathe himself. He could not walk. He had to have constant care. And he said, I am finished. I am ready to die. And in the state of Maryland, and by the way, I'm going to testify before a committee of the Maryland State Legislature about the right to die. He said, I'm ready to go. And in the state of Maryland, his doctor could not help him. So he decided the only way he could end his own life without anyone's help was to stop eating, taking medications, or drinking water. Now, you probably know you can live for a long time without food, but you cannot live without water. The organs begin to break down pretty quickly. So I watched for 10 days as that man slowly died. I don't think anyone who is ill, any caregiver who is watching, any son or daughter or parent should have to go through that. I think we need as a society to be more open about what our choices are. You say your parents are ill. Have you asked them? Have you had that discussion with them? Where do they live? What do they want?
Yeah, I just think it is an important conversation to have. I've read on my own, I've read about your dealing with John's illness and your grief. I've read Ellen Goodman's work about the quote-unquote conversation, and I think those are just important messages for us to consider. And I have two sisters, and we are talking about these subjects. My parents are candid. They are trying to think ahead and be a little bit beyond the pain. My sisters and I are juggling a lot of things. We're not always doing the best job, but I know that you've sorted through a lot of these emotions in your book, your wonderful book, On My Own, especially this idea of grief. And my sisters and I will be facing this pretty soon. My dad is at end stage COPD, and so I think that there's a big stage coming up of grief that we're going to have to work through. And you talk about losing concentration and this almost overwhelming need to be alone. Do you think you'll ever stop grieving? Do you think that's a reality to face?
I think that the idea of moving on, the idea of somehow getting closure, which happens to be a word I hate because I don't think there is any such thing as closure. I rejoice in the 54 years that John and I had together. They were not perfect, but it was a great, solid marriage. I rejoice in those years, and I know that life goes on, and I know that my husband will always be in my mind and in my heart. I just know that for sure. And therefore, I will keep on keeping on. And the grief will always be with me. I look at the park where he used to take our little dog to walk. I look at And I think about him. I look at the table in the kitchen, and I can see him sitting there having his breakfast. I look at the bed where he slept, and I see him sleeping. That's all part of the grieving process, and it's not as though it ever shuts down. One grieves forever, but one moves on.
Yeah.
And I move on. I am fortunate enough to work each day. I am fortunate enough to have good friends around me. I believe in life. I am healthy, thank God. And I want to live that good life as long as I can. But when that time comes, when I cannot live my life as I would wish to, then that time will come for me when I will have a choice as to whether to continue or whether to move on to the next journey, as my husband did. Now, make no mistake about my thinking. I believe so strongly that if you feel God, whoever God is for you, should be the only decider as to when your life ends, I support you 1,000%. If you desire every medical intervention, every possibility of medical miracle that modern medicine offers, I support you 1,000%. And if you desire to end your life because of pain and suffering, and you decide you walk death with dignity at a time and place that you want it, I support you 1,000%. I am asking for choice. I am not saying everyone should make the same decision. And that's where I feel my own beliefs may differ from others. I think that's what compassion and choice is asking for. Death with dignity and choice.
We are with Diane Rehm. Diane's book, On My Own, is going to be the subject of a conversation Tuesday, March 28th, 2017, as part of the Smithsonian Associates Program. She'll be appearing at the Baird Auditorium, the National Museum of Natural History in Washington, D.C. on the 28th. We'll put links up. Diane, thank you so much for joining us today. I know you've got a show coming up. I very much appreciate your time. I just would encourage all of my listeners to check out Diane's book. Go to the Smithsonian Associates webpage, find out more about the program that's upcoming on March 28th, and know that the book is wonderful. Diane has certainly continued her strong voice, just as she's always done, and she speaks so passionately and courageously. Diane Rehm, thank you so much for joining us today.
And thank you very much for your interest and for your thoughtful question.
Well, I will look forward to seeing you on the 28th. I could talk to you for a long time, but there are 3 million other people in this country that want to hear you too. So thank you for...
Thanks a lot. You're very kind.
Well, thank you.
I'll see you then.
Yes, I'll talk to you then. Thanks, Diane.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Thanks to all my guests today, all the help on the podcast and making me sound so much better. That is to say, not old, but better. Thanks to all.